And this servant opens the front door, and Eliyahu says, I would like to see the master of the house, please. Who are you? Says the servant. We're two travelers in the road. We are two travelers in the road, and we need a place to spend the night. And of course, boys, this room, I mean, this is not a little thumpy house. This is a gigantic house with many, 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 many rooms. And Yeshua ben Levi is thinking to himself, oh, tonight we'll probably spend the night in a beautiful room with nice beds, and we're probably not going to make the owner of the house sleep in the barn. Well, the servant goes to speak to the master of the house, and he comes back after a while, and he says, well, look, the master of the house really doesn't want you to stay here, but since really you probably have nowhere else to go, he says you might as well stay here. So he says, sit down on the couch until it's time to get you a room. Well, they sat down on the couch, and Yehoshua ben Levi feels very hungry. I don't know if Eliyahu Nabi felt hungry, he's a malach, but Yehoshua ben Levi is hungry, and he thinks to himself, we'll probably have a nice, delicious meal in this house. In fact, you could even smell delicious food coming out of the kitchen. And if you peek over there through the hall, you see a cook in the kitchen, with plenty of food and a good smell. And if you look down the other hall, you see a beautiful dining room and the table is set and there's all kinds of food over there. Oh, it must be supper time for the family. Oh boy, we're probably going to get a nice meal. Well, they see the family to go eat. Well, they're waiting. They'll probably get also food. And they're waiting and they're waiting on the couch. And this family is eating a delicious meal. And all of a sudden, this man comes with a very angry looking face. Oh, you're the guests, right? I almost forgot that we were having supper. Well, I guess you're traveling on the road. There's no other place to go, so we'll give you a room. Okay, up there. Go to that room and sleep. Were they invited to eat? No. They go to the room. And over there are two beds. And they go to the beds to sleep. No invitation for food. No smile. And in the morning, when they get up, the man is there. Well, I guess you had a good sleep. It's time for you to leave. There's the door. And in fact, the man says, you know what? My servants are working in the yard. I don't want you to mess up our yard. We want our yard to be nice. Go out the back door. You can get to the road in a different way. Oh boy. Is this how to treat guests? And is the man walking along with them like we learned? You can walk along with your guests? No. He's busy and he just says, go ahead, leave. And they're going out the back door and they're going through like a hallway. And all of a sudden, Eliyahu HaNavi notices a crack in the wall. A big crack in the wall. And it's a big wall. And Eliyahu HaNavi says, this is a dangerous crack. If it continues cracking, the whole wall could fall down. And this man would have to build over the whole wall. And it's a, you know, it's a big wall. So Eliyahu HaNavi, he stands by the wall and he davens to Hashem and he says, Hashem, please fix the wall for the rich man so he doesn't have to hire workers to fix it himself. And it should be fixed now, otherwise it's going to be a big job to fix his wall. And as Eliyahu HaNavi finishes davening, all of a sudden you see that the crack in the wall disappears and the wall is strong again. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is thinking to himself, wait a minute. The old man and the old woman who were so nice to us, and even though they're poor, they share with us with a happy feeling. How does Eliyahu HaNavi daven to Hashem for them, to thank them? Kill the cow. Take away their cow. Kill it. They shouldn't have milk, shouldn't have cheese, shouldn't have a way to get money. Here is a millionaire. He did not even share his food with us. He did not even smile. He was upset that we're here and he let us know it. He was very unfriendly. And we're leaving his house. And how does Eliyahu HaNavi daven to Hashem about this man? He says, please fix his wall. The rich man himself could hire workers. It's not going to be a big deal. And so he's going to fix his own wall. No, Eliyahu HaNavi says, please Hashem, fix the wall now, that he shouldn't hire workers, and it shouldn't get more cracks, it shouldn't fall down. It should be fixed right away for free now, without cracking anymore. Doesn't make sense. And of course he wants to ask Eliyahu HaNavi, but what did he say?
Can't ask.
He's not supposed to ask anything. Well, they leave the house. And now they continue on the road. And they're traveling and they're traveling until it's mincha time. Well, they found to daven mincha a beautiful shul, a gorgeous shul, the kind of shul that very rich people would daven in. And there were beautiful wooden benches, carved wooden benches, a beautiful Arna Kodesh, and the walls were beautiful, and everything about the shul was the best and the most beautiful and the nicest. And people started coming into the shul for mincha and ma'ariv, and they're all dressed up very nicely, even though it's a weekday. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi thinks to himself, look, such important people, very wealthy looking people, for sure somebody will invite us to their house for a meal and to sleep. Now in those days, and hopefully in these days, if you see a stranger in shul, especially somebody that's traveling, well, what do? You go over to them and say, Shalom Aleichem, who are you? Are you traveling? Or, you know, what's going on? And how would you like to come to my house? And how would you like to come home for supper? And have a place to sleep? I mean, isn't this Hakmas HaSorachim? A stranger, you know? Stranger in shul? Well, Kenelach, they daven mincha, they daven ma'ariv. Nobody, not one person came over to say Shalom Aleichem. And nobody even came over to say hello, how are you? And nobody asked them who they are, or what they're doing, or if they're hungry or thirsty, or if they need anything. And they ended up sleeping on the hard wooden benches of the shul. And they slept the night in the shul, and of course no food and no drink, nobody had invited them. And in the morning they left the shul, maybe they daven shachris there, and they left the shul later on, and nobody was interested in them. And Eliyahu Navi turns now to daven to Hashem, turns to a wall, and he says, Hashem, please make everybody in that shul to be a leader. To be like a leader of the town, or maybe he said to be a gabbai. The idea of a leader. Every one of those people should be an important leader. Every single one. And of course, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is wondering, why should they get such a nice thing from Eliyahu Navi that each one, every single one, should be like a leader, a president, or a gabbai, or whatever it was, to be a leader, everybody a leader. Like a little king, each one a little king, a shul of little kings, each one is a king. And they traveled on in the morning and then in the afternoon, and they came to another shul later on for mincha and ma'ariv time. And they go in, and it's a very poor shul. A very, very simple shul, nothing fancy. Of course, it was clean, you know, even a not fancy shul, a regular shul, or even a poor shul could be very clean. It was very clean. But you can see the people that daven in this shul did not have a lot of money to put beautiful things in the shul. And everything was simple but clean. And now people came now to daven. They looked like, you know, workers and simple people and even poor people. And everyone that came into the shul came over to the two orchim, the two guests, the two strangers, and said, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? Where do you come from? Are you traveling? Maybe you need a place to stay. We'd love to have you. Maybe you need some food and drink. We'd love to have you over. Please come to my house. No, please come to my house. And everybody's arguing in a nice way. Please let me have them over. Let's have them over my house. And everybody was so friendly. And putting out the hand to shake the hand, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. And of course, they were so nice. And it seems that they also spent the night at somebody's house and had a nice meal. And everybody in the shul was friendly the next day. And now it's time to leave. And Eliyahu Navi turns to a wall as they're walking down the street, and he davens and he says, the people of this shul should have only one leader. Only one. The people of this shul should only have one leader. And not more than one, just one. And that's their bracha, the people of that shul that we just were at now, that everyone was so nice to us and so friendly, they should only have one leader. And that's it. And now Kenelech, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, decided that his curiosity could not continue anymore. He was so curious, all of these things that happened. And he said, Eliyahu, please, can I ask you to explain what's going on? We meet a nice man and a woman, an old man and a woman that are so nice to us. And how do you thank them when we leave? You ask Hashem that the cow should drop dead. Then we go to a millionaire who has a beautiful house, and obviously the man could afford to give us food and drink. Of course, you should not judge a person before, if you don't really know, but at least that's the way it seemed. And the man was so unfriendly and did not even offer us a drink of water. And here, you say to Hashem, please fix his wall for free. And then we go to a beautiful shul, and nobody was friendly to us, and nobody asked us anything and said hello. And you say, everyone should be a leader. And we went to a poor, simple shul, and every single one, every person was so friendly to us. And then later on you say, Hashem, they should only have one leader. I'm so curious, I can't hold myself back anymore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked Eliyahu Navi. Oh, what's going on? And Eliyahu Navi says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, yes, I will explain to you all of your questions, but of course, since you asked, and the rule was, you're not supposed to ask anything. After this, you will not be able to continue with me on my travelings. But I will explain to you all of those things that you're so curious about. And of course, you will see that the way you see things as a person is not exactly the way Hashem sees things. And because I'm a shliach, I'm a messenger for Hashem on these travelings, I'm not just doing it by myself, Hashem, of course, gives me the way he sees it and not the way you see it. A person sees things sometimes in a very limited way, a small way. And Hashem sees the whole picture. As the famous mashal, if you see a knife and it's cutting a leg, you think to yourself, oh, that's terrible. A knife is cutting a leg. It looks horrible. Now, that's the only thing you see. If all of a sudden the picture opens up and you see the knife is being held by a doctor and it's in an operating room and the leg is a person that has something, chas v'shalom, growing in the leg that must be operated upon by the doctor and he's going to cut the leg in order to take out something that is making the person sick and then he's saving the person's life by cutting that thing out, all of a sudden you say, not it's a terrible thing, but it's a what? It's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. Even though it is a knife with a leg and it must hurt and a halavai shouldn't be that way. But if you see the whole picture, you see it's a very important good thing going on. Eliyahu says, the day we came to the poorhouse of the old man and the old woman, I saw from the Shemayim Exeda, there was a decree from Hashem that that day the woman would die. She would pass away that day, the old woman. That was her day to pass away from the world. But Hashem gave them a certain chance that the woman should live longer and they should be married longer, and that was if they would do a mitzvah that day, a big mitzvah, and they got the mitzvah that day of hachnasas orchim. They took care of us in a nice way. And later on, Hashem said, if there will be a kapara for that woman, along with that mitzvah, then they will be able to live longer together. Now, instead of the woman, what passed away that day? The cow. The cow passed away as a kapara. Remember we learned a kapara by Yom Kippur time? The cow was instead of the woman. And as terrible as it was, and they didn't have parnasa for a while, but they were able to pull through, and Hashem helped, they were able to find money for their family in a different way. They lived a few more years together until their time came to pass away. So Kinelach, what Eliyahu Navi did, was a terrible thing or a good thing? It was a good thing. Who understands what Eliyahu Navi did was a good thing? We came to the millionaire's beautiful mansion, and he treated us in a very not nice way. And I discovered a crack in the wall, and I asked Hashem to fix the crack without the rich man having to hire workers or do anything. And you got upset because, look, I'm saving him money and he could afford to fix it. Why shouldn't he fix it himself? Well, inside of that wall was a big treasure that this man had no idea was there. It was put in that wall a long time before he ever moved into the house. A big treasure right there in the wall. But Hashem decided it was not for him to get the treasure. Later on, he would move out of that beautiful big mansion, and a family with many children would move into that mansion later on, a very nice Yiddish family, and that family was going to be the one to be able to find that treasure. In their time, the crack would come back in the wall, they would have to tear it down and hire workers, even though it was not so easy for them with all their children, all the expenses to hire workers, but all of a sudden they would find a big treasure, they would be able to keep that and use that for their family and their kinelach and give tzedakah, and it would help them very much. So, was it a good thing that Eliyahu Navi did, or what? What was that thing that Eliyahu Navi did? It was a very good thing. In other words, it was a chesed, but it really wasn't a chesed. It was a wonderful thing, but it kept that man from getting a treasure. He was not the one who was zeichah to get it. It was another family. Then we came to the shul, the beautiful shul, that nobody was friendly to us. Each person only thought about themselves, and nobody was interested to think about anybody else but themselves. What I gave them was not a bracha. I was just explaining what would be, that each one would be a leader. Now, if you have a lot of people, is it good to have each one be a leader, or is it better to have one leader that everybody listens to him? Okay. The way that everybody would be together is there's one leader, and all the people listen to the one leader. Otherwise, if each person is a boss by himself, all they're going to do is argue and say, I'm right, no, I'm right, I'm the leader, I'm the boss, no, you're not, you have to listen to me, I'm right, not you. That's not the Yiddish way, that's not the right way. You have to put yourself aside and listen to somebody else. Those people could not put themselves aside. All they thought about was themselves. Nobody even came over to you to be curious who you are or if you need anything. So for them to be all leaders was not a good thing. Then we came to the very simple shul, and everybody was so friendly. So I gave them a bracha. They should only have one leader. So what's better? Everybody be a leader or only have one leader? One person. And that would be the best way. They would all be together in achdus. And everybody would respect one another, and of course they would all follow one leader, the whole group. And of course, Eliyahu Navi went on, and Yosheb and Levi could not go with him anymore. Now there's one more story I'm going to tell, probably the last one of the year, but this is connected with this story. It's a story about how we look at things and how the Eibishter looks at things. Now, how many boys remember the Mezritcher Magid? How many boys know about the Mezritcher Magid? Okay, the Mezritcher Magid was the leader in Hasidus after the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Dov Ber, the Mezritcher Magid. He was a student of the Baal Shem Tov and a leader of Hasidus after the Baal Shem Tov. Now, during the time that he was a Rebbe, it was a very good time. The goyim didn't make trouble. Things were good for the Jews. Things were peaceful. People had what they needed. And everybody thought there was a special bracha to the time. Kenalach, the Mezid Shemagid passed away. And all of a sudden, after he passed away, happened a lot of troubles. The Magid passed away, and all of a sudden started a brand new time. A lot of troubles, a lot of difficulties. Goyim making trouble, difficulty making a living, and being poor, and it was a very difficult time. And the Chassidim got together, and they had a big question. Because it says in Tanya, and of course, the things that it says in Tanya were not just made at that time, they came from the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezid Shemagid. So the idea, of course, was there in the Torah before it says in the Tanya. It says that a tzaddik, when he's in the world, of course, is doing all kinds of special things in the world. He's a tzaddik in the world. After he passes away, and the tzaddik leaves his body, and his neshama now is not limited by a body, it says the koyach of the neshama of the tzaddik is even more in the world than before. Because he doesn't have a body now to be just in one place with all the limitations of the body, the tzaddik is even more found than when he was alive. So the Chassidim had a question. When the Magid was here, everything was wonderful and beautiful. Now the Magid passed away. It must be here. He's even here more. He has a bigger koyach in the world. And things are terrible. How could it be? You understand the question? They felt the bracha and the wonderful time they had in the world when the Magid was here. Now the Magid has to be here more after he passed away. His neshama has more of a koyach now. So things should even be better. But they're worse. So how can it be? If the Magid is here more, things are not better, they're worse. One of the Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich kept thinking about this and thinking about this, trying to find an answer. And one night he had a dream at night. And the Magid came to him from the other world in a dream. And he told him the answer. Now if you listen very carefully, you'll understand a little bit the answer. It's very interesting. The Magid said like this. He says, when I was in the world and I had a body, I saw things the way people see them. I saw troubles coming and I davened to Hashem, please do not bring the troubles. Do not bring the difficulties. Do not have anything happen from the goyim bad. Do not have my Hasidim have problems in Parnassa. And I davened to Hashem, and I was able to push these things away, and only good things were happening. I saw bad things coming. I davened to Hashem. I was able to push them away with Hashem's help, and only good things were happening. That's when I had a body. Now that I don't have a body, I only see the things the way they're happening straight from Hashem, not with a body, only the way the neshama sees them. And you know what? I never see anything bad coming. The way things are above from Hashem, what is the way that Hashem gives? Only good. Does Hashem give anything bad or only good? If I see things now the way Hashem sees them, it's only good. I never see any bad coming. When I was in a body and I saw the way people see things, yes, I saw good things and bad things. The way people see good things coming from Hashem, and people see bad things coming from Hashem. But really, is anything ever bad coming from Hashem? No, everything is only good. But that's the way Hashem sees it. When we're in a body, even at tzaddik, we see the way people see it. He says, after I passed away, and my neshama left the body, I only now see things the way they are above, the way Hashem sees them. And I look around each day, of course it doesn't mean right, left, and up and down. And I see everything that Hashem does is completely good. So do I have to daven to that Hashem should not make something happen? Or everything I see from Hashem is only good in the first place? So he says, I never daven that something shouldn't happen because I only see the way things happen from Hashem in only a good way, everything that happens. No, like the Eliyahu Navi story. The way Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi saw things in a body, he saw, oi, this is terrible. Later on, when he saw the way Hashem saw it, he says, it wasn't terrible, it was good. But the way I saw it first was the way I saw it from just the way a person sees it. Later on, when he saw everything the way Eliyahu Navi sees it, and how did Eliyahu Navi see it the way Hashem sees it, it was only good in the first place.